And welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. Thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful contributions that have kept us on the air for over 40 years and allows us to bring you great shows like today's. And we are blessed to be joined today by Debbie Cowden. And Debbie is the Senior Digital Media Specialist for EWTN Global Catholic Network. She's recognized for her co-hosting of EWTN Religious Catalog and is the former producer of several EWTN series and live shows. She lives in Ohio with her husband David, an active member of the Knights of Columbus, who works in healthcare, and their three children. Welcome to the show, Debbie. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And the book we're going to talk about or start to talk about is called The Prayer Book for Tired Parents. And the subtitle, Practical Ways to Grow in Love of God and Get Your Family to Heaven. And I knew as soon as I saw the front cover of the book, this is something that I wish I had had. And I just mentioned to you off the air some 38 years ago when my daughter was born. And just a quick story where it says, and get your family to heaven. I once saw heard Deacon Harold Burke Sivers one time, and he was talking about a guy that came to ask for his permission to marry his daughter, and he said that there was only one answer that would suffice, and and it wasn't she completes me, and it wasn't that I love her and this and that. The only answer he would accept is that he'll get her to heaven. And I thought that was great. I've used that with my my son-in-law, and I may have another son-in-law in the not-too-distant future. And, it's just what we're wired for, what God made us for. And, I was so far off the mark for so many years when it came to this that I think that this book that you've written should be like part of pre-Cana or whatever it is that they're doing now for marriage preparation. Everybody should get a free copy. Well, the parishes should be buying them up and handing them out and help get our marriages off to a good start.
Ken, would you like to join my publicity team?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, we could do that good cop, bad cop thing. I'll be the bad cop, and I can tell people how to do all the wrong stuff, and then you come in and you tell them how to do all the right stuff.
Well, Ken, it sounds like you have a desire to do the right thing. And honestly, what you said, I could not have said it better myself, that this is the only thing that matters, is getting to heaven. It's what we were made for. And in today's world, there are so many distractions and so many things that are pulling us away from this call to holiness. And that's really one of the big reasons Dave and I wrote the Prayer Book for Tired Parents, was because we realized that we were being pulled away from our call to holiness as well, and we were falling victim to a lot of distractions in the world, and we needed something in writing, something clear and concrete that was going to lay the groundwork for us to be able to grow in holiness for ourselves, but also for our kids too. So the Prayer Book for Tired Parents is for the ordinary parents in the pews who are like, you know what, I want to do this the right way, I just don't know how. So yeah, if parishes want to buy copies, just get a hold of me. Go to tiredcatholicparents.com, and we can get you a special discount on multiple copies, because we do want parishes to hand this out like trick-or-treat candy. We want every parent in the pews to be able to see what these foundational steps are, because the church needs holy families, and holy families need the church.
Amen. And the book's published by EWTN Publishing and being distributed by Sophia Institute. We frequently have authors on that publish through Sophia. So they, for our listeners here in the local Philadelphia area, of course, look up the St. Jude shop. And if they don't have it in stock, they can definitely get it for you in short order. And, as I was looking at the book, it's been an interesting year in my own family. As you mentioned, I can, still do this with my grandkids. And you're absolutely right. And it was the change of events over last summer where my grandkids are 7 and 6, and they were going to be enrolled in the local public school in their neighborhood. And at the last minute, my daughter, who went through 12 years of Catholic school, went and checked out the local parish school and, decided that that's where she wanted to send them. And Just this past Christmas, a couple of weeks before Christmas, I guess they were doing something with an Advent wreath at school, and I got a text message from my daughter asking, where can I get an Advent wreath? And next, you know, I went and I picked one up. I couldn't wait to get there. I went, got him an Advent wreath. I got him some prayers to go along with it. And next thing you know, it was my 7-year-old granddaughter that's leading the Advent wreath prayers every day at dinner time.
I'm so happy for you. That's awesome,
isn't it? And I bring that up because I think sometimes parents may not think that their kids will be receptive to this, and I think that the kids are can be fascinated by it. That it's a whole, you know, gives them a whole new way of looking at their day and their life, and gives them an opportunity to participate in their faith. And not to beat up my parents. I had great parents, but we weren't brought up that way. And when they left, they relegated us to the Catholic school and whatever the Mercy Nuns and the good teachers there taught us. And as a result, that's the way I kind of brought up my family. And especially, I think, in this time and where we are in salvation history, that this is needed more now than ever before. Because as you mentioned, there's so many distractions. I was looking at the things that she had my grandkids doing, whether it was swimming lessons, piano lessons, the various sports teams, and all of them in and of themselves are probably good things. But when you're doing one of them every day, I can understand why they were getting tired, why the kids were tired, the parents are tired, and God kind of gets relegated to third or fourth place. And you know from your own experience raising kids and what have you, that having this God thing, making God a part of our lives, it makes all the difference in the world, right?
It really does. And for the parents who are running around doing all of these different activities with their kids, again, like you said, these activities are amoral. In and of themselves, they are not necessarily bad, but when they're pulling your family in all different directions and you're not making the time to pray together as a family, and you're not recognizing the time and the focus that God is due as the creator of everything, that's when our priorities can start to get a little bit skewed. And in our own lives, we have 3 children. They're ages 6, 4, and 2. And when the pandemic broke out and churches were closed, we were pregnant with our 3rd. So we had just gotten used to having our kids getting through Mass. Like we were getting through Mass without having to go to the back of the church for more than like 15 minutes at the end. But when churches opened up again, after we were not able to go for a while, it was like all the habits had been undone with our children, and they were no longer able to sit through Mass. And so Dave and I were talking about how in the world are we going to get our kids back to Mass? Are we going to have to go separately for now? Do we just not bring them? How is that going to work? And that was really hard to say out loud, because I knew how important it was for our family to go to Mass together. And so Dave had said, why don't we just start taking them to daily Mass? And I'm like, yeah, listen, Dave, we're having enough trouble getting them through Sunday Mass, and you want to keep going and keep putting ourselves through that? But he was onto something, because I realized that what I wasn't lacking was time, really, or energy even, really, to get them to Mass. What I was lacking was love, because I was not recognizing that the Eucharist should be the center of my life and everything should revolve around it. Every part of my day should revolve around God and should include him. And we realize that a lot of parents are feeling the same way. And we're not saying that you have to spend 24 hours a day at the church, because you'd be neglecting your parental duties and that would not be good. But in your state in life, where you are right now, what are some ways that you can make God the priority? And not just for the sake of having a checklist of things that you're crossing off, like, oh, are we praying the rosary every day? Are we saying a certain number of prayers every day? But really recognizing that all that you are and all that you have comes from God, and that you will not only find rest in him as a parent, but you also will be invigorated by him, and you'll be able to rediscover a sense of a purpose and a sense of direction in your life. So for the parent who is being pulled in all different directions, they're feeling anxious, there's maybe chaos in their home, the prayer book for tired parents is a pathway to experiencing God's peace. And we're not telling you what activities you can and cannot get your kids involved in. We're not telling you what you should and should not do. This is not a parenting book. The Prayer Book for Tired Parents is a guide to growing in your relationship with God and making Him the priority. And it's worth every little bit of effort, because you're going to find that the more you pray these prayers, the more that you make these little changes in your life, the more peace you have in your home, and you recognize that this is what you were made for. So we want to offer parents encouragement and hope, and offer them real solutions that are going to be nourishing in the Prayer Book for Tired Parents. I get really excited talking about this, Ken.
I can tell. You know, there's some people, especially authors, when they I usually only get a minute or two to talk to them right before we come on the air. You know, I get some background information ahead of time. But I could tell as soon as I had you on the phone the joy in your voice and the excitement. And that's, you know, people that talk the way we do and what have you, are, you know, that they have a relationship with God that's different than the average person, especially in this day and age. And the joy in your voice is obvious. And, you know, people who don't know you or don't know your background, and they hear the joy, and it's like, there's something wrong with this woman. You know, how, with everything that's going on in this crazy world, she's either got really, you know, a really good drug that she found that makes her happy. And but the bottom line is, it's a direct result of your relationship with God. And when you have that, you want it for everybody, right? And because you know that that's what God wants. God wants it for everybody. And everybody's looking for it. They just don't know it. And so when you undergo this project like you did, and I'm sure that there was something that happened that I'll get to that in a minute as to why you wrote the book, but when you realize that for yourself and then realize that you can help other people with, you know, find what it is that they're looking for, you know, what a gift that is. And so I'm sure that somewhere along the line you realized that you were onto something, right? And wanted to share it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's all been the prompting of the Holy Spirit too. From the moment that the idea hit us, it was something that we had tried to ignore because the idea or the title just came so clearly. Just I was joking with Dave that, you know, oh, one day we'll write a book, but I don't have anything that I could write a book about now. And then almost immediately, the Prayer Book for Tired Parents. And it was, I don't want to say spooky, but it was a little bit weird. So we tried to ignore it because I was like, okay, obviously I'm a tired parent. I do not have time to write a book. But God just kept putting the opportunities in front of us. I'm like, okay, Jesus, if you want this book to happen, you're going to have to blow open all the doors, because I am not going to push for this because I am a tired parent and I don't have time to write a book. And then it was like the way that things unfolded in my life, without getting into all the details, because that in itself is an hour-long discussion. We were getting ready to sign the contract for the book, and a priest friend of ours was going through a really difficult time. And I had told another priest friend of ours that I would go through any sort of suffering in order to offer up for our priest friend. And then the next day, our neighbor's house caught on fire, and we suddenly found ourselves being homeless for 6 weeks. And this is when we had three kids. Like, I was standing across the street from my house saying, my house is going to catch on fire today. And praise God to the firefighters in our town, because they kept the fire away from our house, but we were displaced for 6 weeks because of smoke damage in our home and some property damage too. And so again, that was while we were working on signing the contract for the book. So most of the book was written when Dave and I were living in a hotel with three children, unable to return to our home, both trying to work full time. And we were tired. We were not just tired. We were absolutely depleted. We were, like emotionally sick, if you can imagine that, just feeling helpless, feeling like we had to completely abandon ourselves because we had almost no control over the situation. We had no idea when we were going to get back in our home. We had some health issues that we had to deal with at the same time. Like, our life was an absolute wreck, but it was like God was holding our hand through the entire process of writing the Prayer Book for Tired Parents. And so I want fellow parents to know that when they're reading this book, this is not Dave and Debbie standing on a pedestal, pointing a finger saying, you should do better. This is us saying, we're walking along with you. We're going through these trials together. And what I love about the Catholic faith is that we don't preach a prosperity gospel. there is suffering, and there is extra suffering for those who want to follow God's ways and who are making a difference in the world. You think about all of this. I don't know any saint who just had a cakewalk of a life. I really don't. Not even the Blessed Mother had an easy life.
No, absolutely not. I do. I've been doing a show right before this one for the last 6 years called Saints and Sinners, and we talk about the saints in the liturgical calendar. I've never met one that had an easy life. That's for certain.
They didn't. And that joy, Ken, that joy that you're hearing in my voice is knowing that I don't have to have control over everything. I don't have to have perfectly behaved children. I don't have to have my life completely under control, because I know that God does. And that when I am a tired parent, I can abandon myself to God's will. I can trust Him. I can have hope in Him, because I know that He loves me, and I know that He has a plan, and I know that He has given me the intellect and the will to be able to change the things that I can. And He's giving me the wisdom to be able to sort some of that stuff out. But I don't have to have it all under control, because He does. And what a sense of relief and peace that brings to my life.
Now, and you know, you said earlier about, you know, God, if you really want me to do this, you're going to have to make it happen. And that's the one of the keys for discernment in my own life. And oftentimes I think, you know, God wants us to do something, and we're the ones that put up the roadblocks, right? We're the ones that, well, I can't do it because of this, and I can't do it because of that. And I've found in my own life that when God wants you to do something, somehow or other, He manages to remove all the barriers, where it finally gets to the point where it's like you have no excuse not to do what He's called you to do.
And it's so easy to make the excuses when you're a tired parent. Like, I can't make it to daily mass because we've got all sorts of different activities. We can't do these certain devotions because we just don't have time, or we're too tired at the end of the day. But when we start to zero in on God, how can I love you more? Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. He answers that prayer. Mm. And you find that the more you try, the more grace He gives you, and the more you desire to pray, and the more you desire to grow in your relationship with God and change your life. It's so beautiful. We just have to pray for the grace to desire it.
Nah, that's right. And a lot of my ministry that I'm involved in outside of the radio work is dealing with folks that struggle with addiction, myself included. And when you make that turn and you come to learn that the only way that you're going to survive in life is through a relationship with God, and then you go from being the lowest of the low and thinking that God doesn't have the time for you, never wants to have anything to do with you, and come to realize that it's been just the opposite, and that He's been calling you time and time and time again, and putting people in your path that have been trying to wake you up and help you along. And to your point, once you are aware of it, and you ask God for the grace, it comes in spades, and it just keeps coming and coming as long as you keep asking. And there's people I know today that are doing things that they never would have done. And I have people that knew me 30 years ago, and when they ask me what I'm up to and I tell them, they look at me cross-eyed, and they're like, is this the same person I knew 30 years ago? And it's like, no, I'm not. I'm a different person. I'm a person that God has brought along. And I think the beauty of it is, in this ministry, if you will, that you have now for tired parents, that you're able to speak directly to other tired parents because of your own personal experience. Just like I get to talk to people who struggle with addiction because I know exactly what it's like. And I can talk the talk and walk the walk, just like you can talk to, especially to younger parents today, to... And you're believable, and that in itself is a gift, I think, from God. And when we recognize the gift that we've been given, and then turn around and use it and help other people, I think the joy just multiplies, both for you, for God, and the people that you're helping.
Amen. Absolutely. And that's where we knew that we couldn't ignore it anymore, because the more we started talking to other parents and being vulnerable really about the things that we were struggling with, we realized that they were going through the same trials too. And whereas there are couples in our parish that Dave and I kind of put up on a pedestal, like, oh, they are way holier than we are, and they probably do everything right, and if only we could be like them. When we had a chance to actually sit down and talk to them, we realized that they were struggling. The ones that we thought were already saints, basically, were struggling with the same things. And how important it is for us to know that we're not alone in our struggles. And even St. Therese's parents had tremendous struggles that they dealt with. Even their three-year-old Therese having meltdowns. We have a reflection in our book about St. Therese, and it includes a prayer for a parent when their child is having a tantrum. And the gist is just that, you know, you understand that if little three-year-old Therese, who is throwing herself on the ground, acting like all is lost, can turn around and become not just a saint, but a doctor of the church, then there's hope for all of us. And so we also see the struggles that St. Bailey and St. Louis went through with little Therese and being her parents. And they were able to overcome it. And so when I see my kids having their little meltdowns, I just remember St. Therese had tantrums too. And that's the encouragement that other parents need to hear, so that they're not discouraged.
Now, and I think that's so important. And I often say to various folks that I think as Catholics, it's one of the things that we're really poor at is witnessing to one another. As to what's going on in our own lives, because I'm just like you. There's, you know, go to church on Sunday, and, you know, in the 12-step world, we call it taking people's inventory. And I look around, and, you know, I think everybody's got it so much better than I do. They all got the right book when they were coming up that gave them all the answers that I never got, and their lives are so much easier than mine. And I see them week in and week out because, you know, Catholics, we sit in the same pew every week. And God forbid we sit in somebody else's seat and they give us the hairy eyeball for it. But these same people that I've been going to the same church now for over 30 years, and there's still people, I don't even know their name. And that's like a pretty poor commentary. And when... I think that's one of the things that our Protestant brothers and sisters get right. I've had friends come to me and say, "Oh, I get to witness at church this week," or I'm going to service on Sunday, and the pastor asked me to give a witness." And we just don't do that. I think we're supposed to do it in the parking lot, or I think our mothers did it
over
the fence.
And dinner.
Yeah, when we were kids, but we just don't share. And so as a result, if you don't get in that habit, I think for some people it can really be difficult to expose yourself. I've witnessed it in a men's prayer group where guys that come for the first time, and I'm pretty open when I talk about what's going on in my life, only because I don't care who knows what, because that's how bad things have gotten, and I'm used to doing it in a 12-step setting, that, you know, guys' eyes all of a sudden are wide open and their jaws are dropping, and what I'm sharing is not really that bad compared to what I could talk about. But they've never heard this kind of talk before, or heard other men, you know, be willing to expose themselves in front of a group of men and say, "Hey, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, or I really made a big mistake last week, and, you know, I have this issue or that issue," because, you know, God forbid we let anybody else know that we're less than perfect.
Exactly. And as we were writing the book, there were times where we thought, you know, is this too basic? Is that because this is the foundational steps that we talk about in the book are what a lot of people are like. This is not, I love Scott Hahn. I love Dr. Hahn. This is not a Scott Hahn book in the sense that I don't possess the same theological training that he does. This is not the Summa from St. Thomas Aquinas.
Right.
This is not St. Teresa of Avila and her interior castle or the way of perfection. This is like step one. Let's get back to basics.
Right.
And let's make sure that we're doing these things really well. And so when I was battling with, is this too simple, Dave actually had come across a study that was done recently that said only 2% of Catholics go to confession regularly, and as many as 75% of those who were surveyed said they go less than once a year or never. And with the recent studies that have come out that say, you know, 50-60% of Catholics don't understand or don't believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, we have to get back to basics. We have a lot to do to rebuild these awareness of these devotions and practice of them as well. And so for the parent who's like, well, you know, I only go to Sunday Mass, we are not praying the rosary together, and I can't tell you the last time I picked up a saint book, if I've ever picked one up at all, that this book is for you. The Prayer Book for Tired Parents is for you, because we go over these devotions. We go over the practical ways to be able to pray the rosary as a family, even if you have teenagers, even if you have never in your married life prayed the rosary with your spouse. You can do it. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a little clunky at first, and you might feel a little bit weird at first, but we've got to get back to the basics. And the Blessed Mother said in Fatima, pray the rosary every day to bring peace to the world. She didn't say, do it every once in a while, or if you happen to get to Mass early and everybody else is praying. She said, pray the rosary every day. And if you're not doing it yet, we're going to help you get to that point. And then you're going to find that you're growing in your desire to pray the rosary. And then you're going to have the courage to be able to start taking on these other devotions too. You'll start surrounding your home with images of the Blessed Mother, and you'll have a crucifix in every room, and you'll have holy water fonts, and you'll have holy water in them, because that's a big step. You can have the holy water fonts. You got to make sure they're filled.
Amen.
You'll be able to understand the significance of the scapular and be enrolled in the scapular. All of these, none of the devotions that we talk about in the book are new, because there's nothing new that Dave and I are contributing to the church. We are just summarizing the basic steps. So the parent who is out of practice, or the Catholic who has been away for a while and is just coming back, they can hit the ground running with this. You don't have to be a saint yet. We're all working on that.
Yeah. Well, that's my website, notsaintsyet.org. But you know, and that's what I think a lot of people need, is that reintroduction. I know when I came back to the faith after being away from 18 to 30, that I basically had to go back to the beginning, and I had the benefit of some of the early internet websites, Catholicity.com and others, that, you know, brought me along. And what I found is that all we need to do is invite other people, and their initial response might be no, or maybe not yet, or no, I'm not interested. But what I would do is invite and then pray. And it's up to God and the Holy Spirit to push them along and have them, you know, respond how they want them to respond. And I still do that with my kids that are away from the church, especially the two that live in my house. And it's, you know, every Saturday night, hey, listen, I'm going to 9:30 Mass tomorrow. If you want to come, we'll go out to breakfast after. And not this week. And they know I'm going to ask every week. And I know for certain that one of these weeks they're going to come with me, but until then, and you can't get upset about it. Otherwise it's a completely lost cause. But, I love the idea of inviting people and then praying that God will help them give us the response that God expects, not the response that I expect. Deb, we've already reached the bottom of the hour. So we're going to go ahead and take a short break. When we come back, maybe we can go through the parts of the book, not in detail because we want folks to go out and get it, but you know exactly how you go through this process. So I'd ask I ask our listeners not to go away. Just going to be a short break. We'll be right back.
This is Dr. Carol Houghton of the Diocese of Harrisburg. I have been blessed in many ways by Kathleen McCarthy's retreats, days of reflection, preaching, and teaching, especially on In His Sign Catholic Radio. When Kathleen teaches from the Scripture and shares with us her personal stories, I am deeply touched and inspired. It is as if God is speaking directly from her heart to my heart. And when Kathleen reads from her books, In the Silence of My Heart, she shares with us what God has spoken to her, an intimate message of unconditional love and mercy. God has blessed Kathleen with many gifts, which she readily shares with others by doing every day what the Lord has asked of her. And by the example of her yes to God, we too are encouraged to give our yes to God. For Kathleen's daily and public witness to the gospel, I will be forever grateful. For it is by this example that she challenges me to become a better disciple of the Lord.
Listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now, your host Ken Johnston. And again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Without your support, we wouldn't be able to bring you great shows like today's, and for that I am forever grateful. Our guest today is Debbie Cowden, and we've been talking about the book that she wrote with her husband David, The Prayer Book for Tired Parents, Practical Ways to Grow in Love of God and Get Your Family to Heaven. And we were emphasizing before we went to the break that this is a practical guide. It's not a it's not a theological tome. It's not a step-by-step theology like you would get from some other authors. This is based on her own life experience and what she's done within her own family. And as I mentioned before we went to the break, Deb, maybe just kind of go through the structure of the book, because when you pick it up, and you start flipping through it, it looks an awful lot like a workbook that you would get in school. There's a lot of places for you to write in this book and provide your own answers. And it starts early on, right, to try and figure out where you are, because you need to know where you are before you can get to where you're going. I lose you, Deb? Hello, Deb. Hey, Deb.
Hey, can you hear me?
Now I can hear you. Sorry about that.
What happened? I guess you know who way down under doesn't want us talking about the book.
Yeah, well, it happens from time to time. No, but not a big deal. So did you hear what I was saying?
One thing you have to know about my husband, Dave, is that he is very pragmatic. He is so practical, and when he goes to the store to buy a book, he wants to make sure it's going to be a book that's going to change his life. And so if you keep that in mind when you're looking at the prayer book for tired parents, you'll see all throughout just Dave's special touch of practicality. So like you said, it is very much like a manual, because you do have to make goals and put in writing where you are so that you can figure out where you need to go and how you're going to get there. And so it's a workbook, it's a manual. We talk about the different steps to building a foundation of prayer, those tried and true Catholic devotions that have been part of our church for millennia, really, in order to build that foundation of faith and to be able to make God truly a priority. And then after you get through that section, we have what's called stepping forward in faith. And so this is where we offer more practicalities when you're taking the foundational steps and putting them into action, helping you to troubleshoot some of the things that you might encounter. We also include EWTN Foundress Mother Angelica's wisdom for tired parents, because she was a champion for everyday holiness. She says, we are all called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity. And for tired parents, that opportunity is right in front of you with your family. And so then we get into part four of the book, which is prayers and reflections on the saints. And these are written, we have the everyday prayers that are traditional prayers of our faith, but then we also have over 30 prayers that Dave and I have written based on saints who can help parents. So we, of course, have the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph. We have the archangels, Saint Gianamola, who is a patron saint for parents. We have a patron saint for grandparents, Saints Joachim and Anne. And then we go through, and each of these saints is assigned a particular prayer for tired parents. So we have Saint Elizabeth of Portugal and a prayer for the healing of family rifts. We have Saint Monica and a prayer for the conversion of family members. We have Saint Isidore the farmer and his wife, Blessed Maria, and a prayer and thanksgiving for groceries, which is something that many of us can be thankful for when we can get through the checkout line and know that we can get all the things that we need. We have Saint Martin de Porres and a prayer for the completion of housework. Saint John Vianney and a prayer for your parish priest. We have Saint Veronica and a prayer while assisting someone carrying a cross. And then we also have a couple, I don't want to say funnier ones, but a little bit more humorous, Saint Lawrence and a prayer when everything is going up in flames. Because sometimes as a parent, that's the only prayer that you can muster in the moment. And yeah. Then Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen and a prayer and thanksgiving for coffee. And so when Dave and I were writing these reflections and composing these prayers, we really wanted to get to the heart of what a parent is praying for in the moment. And sometimes that means that we're just praying like, God, everything is going up in flames and I entrust everything to you. And then other times it's, you know, while your coffee is percolating or steeping in the morning, you pray, dear God, sometimes I feel like I can do nothing without this coffee, when really I can do nothing without you. So help me keep that in mind today as I give thanks for this delicious cup of coffee. And our hope is that as parents are praying these prayers, that they're able to come up with more of them from their own heart. And it might be like, Lord, please bless Johnny as he goes off to school today. Just a quick prayer that you can pray. And then there's also the common passing prayers or ejaculations. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I love you, save souls. Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So we want to make these prayers really accessible for parents. In order to do that, we have this beautiful appendix at the back of the book where if you see one of those prayers that you like Blessed Carlo Acutis and a prayer for good use of the internet, you can take that prayer and you can cut it out along the dotted lines that are in the book and you can tape it to your family computer monitor. Or you can take that prayer and thanksgiving for coffee and put it right by your coffee pot. You can take the litany of humility. That's one of Dave's favorites. That prayer is always answered. And you can put it on your bathroom mirror so you can pray it first thing in the morning. We want parents to be able to put these prayers wherever they need them so that they can pray them. And then we also include a family prayer journal where you can include those prayers of your own and you can write out some of your goals, your prayer intentions, things like that. So it's a 350-page book. It's by no means a book that we want you to pick up, read, and then put back on the shelf, never to be seen again. We want you to be using this book every single day as you start to incorporate the concepts and start to build up a really robust prayer life. It's going to take time, but you've got everything that you need right here in the prayer book for tired parents.
No, absolutely. And just looking at the page numbers, it's, you know, half the book is the prayers and reflections on the saints. So, you know, 350 pages, like, I'm not going to be able to get through that, but it's...
You are!
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. And the prayer, I love the St. Lawrence prayer, you know, because he was the one, they, you know, I'm done on this side, flip me over, as he was being burned, I believe. You know, one of the things that's in here, and I find interesting, is the consecration to the Blessed Mother and St. Joseph. And I didn't read the part per se, but I'm assuming that we're having our children do that as well.
I would love for you to be able to have your children do them. If for whatever reason you're not able to, whether that's because they're teeny tiny babies and they can't talk yet, or they're teenagers and they don't talk for different reasons, or they're out of the house, that's where we can still entrust our children to the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph, even if they can't do the consecration themselves or aren't at this point ready to do the consecration.
And I bring that up because of the pivotal role that played in my own life some 25 years ago, and everything that happened since that moment on November 21st in 1997, I know has been a direct result of my becoming a Knight of the Immaculata and consecrating myself to Jesus through Mary, and how important it's been in my life, and can only imagine what it's like if it's done when we are children. And I think about the woman who I learned about almost 2 years ago, Louisa Picaretta, and you know, she consecrated herself to through Mary at the age of 12, and it just set the course for the rest of her life. And I think the earlier that we can get our kids and grandkids onto this idea, even if they don't completely understand what this consecration is, but you know, that, and it really is pretty basic, right? That we're giving ourselves to Jesus, and whether it's through Mary or Joseph or both, that all of a sudden we're part of a team. We're not going through life alone, even if something, you know, God forbid, should happen to the parents. That for the rest of their lives, they've got Mary and Joseph on their team. Even on those days or weeks or months or maybe even years that they forget that they made the consecration or don't, you know, say whatever prayers are expected of them or what have you, because the Blessed Mother herself said that, you know, she's there whether we after the consecration, whether we recognize her or not.
Amen. And we have to know that those prayers have value. Even if you feel like your children have gone wayward and you feel like there's no hope for them, there absolutely is. God is not finished with our children yet. And ideally, certainly, if you can catch your kids as soon as possible, like with my 6-year-old daughter, she is really, really, really interested in learning more about religious life right now. She loves Mama Mary. She has her own saint squad of like Saint Kateri, Saint Maria Goretti, Saint Joan of Arc, of course the Blessed Mother, Saint Ursula, Saint Philomena. She's got all her little saints that she loves so much. And you think about how little girls love princesses, and my daughter loves princesses who were saints. And so we can start our children in on this early. We as parents have a tremendous opportunity to show our children what is important in life. And the earlier we can start, the better. And we just have to know that when we entrust our children to the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph, that as our spiritual mother and father, they will protect our children in ways that we may not even know on this side of heaven.
Now, and I know I was protected for years without making a consecration, and afterwards, like I said, the Blessed Mother has directed my life for as long as I've let her, and never in a wrong pursuit. That doesn't mean I haven't made mistakes along the way, but for our kids to do it, and you see the results already in a 6-year-old, and you know, this type of family life where we, you know, God's the center of it, with you know, a regular prayer life, with going to Mass more often than just on Sundays, that it just becomes a way of life. And not that they won't know any better. You know, I'm sure they'll have interactions with other kids at certain times, and that aren't doing the same things that you and Dave are doing with them. But to have that foundation, an unshakable foundation, and something that, whether, you know, God forbid they lose it, but, you know, whether they lose it at 13 or 18 or 25, that it's something that we always go back to. And, you know, I mentioned earlier, I'll be forever grateful to my parents that made sure I got baptized as an infant and brought me up in the faith as best they could, so that when the time came, I had it to go back to. And sure, there's regrets I've had. I wish I didn't have to do all the things that I had, that I did, that drove me back to the church. But that, you know, that's my own experience. And but for others that are listening today, especially, we probably have more grandparents than parents that listen to the show. That you know, for the grandparents to run out and get a copy of this book, and you know, just slip it to your kids and say, "Hey, I heard about this. You know, you might be interested." And it may sit on the nightstand for a while or on the coffee table, but if they eventually pick it up, I think they'll be much better off for it.
That's what we're hoping. We're hoping that grandparents will get this for their adult children. We're hoping that people will give this to expectant parents at baby showers, that pastors will present this to parents when they present their children for baptism. We're hoping that this ends up everywhere, not just because we want to sell books, because of course we want to sell books, but because we know the difference that this can make. And the book just came out not long ago, but we're already hearing feedback. And there's one case where a friend of mine has three children, including an infant and a toddler, and she also has a child who has cancer.
Mm.
And so if you want to talk about a parent who is tired, it's her. She's exhausted. And she was telling me the other day that she keeps picking up the book, and she just gets little nuggets here and there. She may only be able to read it for a couple minutes at a time, but she said it always makes her feel better. And it always makes her feel a sense of encouragement. And that's what we want. We want parents to be encouraged, and we want them to know that there's hope, and that what they're going through has value, and that they can offer up their suffering, and they can change their mindset about it too. And the prayer book for tired parents helps with that. I mean, Dave and I pick it up, and we still get nuggets of wisdom from it too. And we're the ones who typed out all the words.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the Holy Spirit wrote it, but maybe I shouldn't be so bold as to say that. But it's changing. It's changing parents.
No.
We see that it is.
No, and in this day and age, we need it more than ever, because everything in the culture is diametrically opposed to it. And to be able to have a resource like this that you know, just reinforces how important it is. It is a, you know, just a great tool to have in our arsenal. And you know, like I said, hindsight's 20/20, and I am where I am. But my daughter will be getting a copy, that's for certain. And then the one
Praise
that's
God.
Getting married, yeah, yeah, no, and because it is, and like you say, it's a practical guide. You know, pick it up and use it. All the prayers that are in the back of it, you know, it'll probably take you a couple months. Just if you did one a day, it's going to take you a couple months to get through them. And to your point, you know, pick up a nugget each day and find those that you really like, and know the ones that are there. And I think that's more important, perhaps, is, you know, you may not need every prayer every day, but some of them to have them when, you know, when you need them. When the temper tantrum occurs, when everything's up in flames, to know that there's a resource to turn to, and that you're not alone in going through it, can make all the difference in the world.
Amen. And again, I could not have said it better myself. I'm going to hire you, Ken.
Hey, whenever. I'm available. So our guest today is Deb Cowden, and we're talking about our book that we've mentioned a number of times, but you can't mention it enough, right, Deb? The Prayer Book for Tired Parents, Practical Ways to Grow in Love of God and Get Your Family to Heaven. And it's from EWTN Publishing, being distributed by Sophia Institute, available, I'm sure, on EWTN's website, locally here in the Philadelphia area at the St. Jude Shop. By all means, support them, and if they don't have it in stock, they'll get it for you right quick. And as I read that subtitle again, and Get Your Family to Heaven, is probably the single most important thing that we need to do today, and probably the single thing that's least talked about in the secular world. So that's where it is. We're born for heaven. We were made for heaven. God made us to return to Him. Someday, and Deb, I think you and your husband have done a great job in laying this out for folks and helping them along in that process. You got just a few minutes left, so I'll give you the final word if you have something you want to share with our listeners before I let you go.
Yes, Ken, I'd like to offer a word of encouragement to parents that wherever you are in your spiritual journey, God has a plan for you, and he's working through you, and he just desires your love. And it may seem hard to exert what you feel is extra effort in order to do these extra things, so it seems in this book, but really this is going to bring peace into your home. If you practice these devotions, if you pray, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire this, then he will answer that prayer in ways that you could not have even imagined before. And just a reminder that this is the most important job that you have as a parent. Your kids' grades are not as important. Your kids' athletic honors are not as important. The size of your home or the brand of clothing that your kids wear, not as important as whether or not your children will be called saints one day. And so just know that Dave and I are praying for you. Our entire family is praying for you that you will take this leap of faith and that you will turn your family toward God. And great, beautiful things are going to happen. You were made for holiness. And Dave and I are here to help. So if you are interested in the prayer book for tired parents, and if you want to learn more about these practical ways to grow in love of God and get your family to heaven, again, you can get the book at Sophia Institute Press. You can get it at ewtnrc.com. And if you have questions about getting multiple copies of the book, or if you want us to send a personalized message to somebody who's going to receive the book, then you can go to tiredcatholicparents.com and send us a message, and we would be happy to help you with a personalized message. And awesome. That's it, Ken.
Awesome.
That's all I have.
That's great, Deb. And sometimes when I have authors on and we have an hour show, sometimes I wonder if we're going to have enough material to fill it. And we've certainly done that today. And having you on, it has raised my spirits. And, you know, like I said, the joy that God brings out in us when we turn our will and our life over to them and to him and allow him to work through us is just incredible. And you're an obvious example of that. So I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. Take care of your husband and those three kids. And if you have another project that comes up along the way and you want to talk about it, by all means, get in touch with us. We'll have you on again.
Thank you so much, Ken. And we're praying for you, too.
Nah, I appreciate it. I need all the prayers I can get. Trust me.
Got it.
All right. Thanks, Deb. Take care now. God bless you.
God bless.
It's one of those shows when they, with the practical experience of doing this now for some 6 years, oftentimes, and I've said this before, oftentimes I get, you know, a minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes at the most to talk to the folks that we're going to have on before we get started. And, you know, sometimes, and if you're a regular listener, you know as well as I do that some are better than others. And when I picked up the phone at a couple, you know, a minute before five or a minute after five and heard the joy in Debbie's voice, it makes all the difference in the world. And it's uplifting to hear people that are that filled with joy. And the message is, you know, in addition to writing a book, you know, for tired parents and raising our kids to be saints and get to heaven, because they're not getting to heaven without being saints, because everybody in heaven's a saint. That when we turn to God and give him our life and ask for all that we need in order to do whatever it is that he wants us to do his will, to live in his will, that's when we have the most joy-filled moments. And when we're full of joy, it can't help but elevate other people. And sure, there's people that are curmudgeons, and no matter what you do, they're not going to let on that they're happy or joyful. But I think for the most part, most people that we run into, that when we show the joy and talk about the joy in our own life, despite all the problems that we may be experiencing on any given day, that it gives them joy and realizes, I think, that God wants the same for them. And he wants it for each and every one of us. That's why In His Sign Catholic Radio has been here for 40 years, to continue to bring that message to people that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no other way. We can find happiness in fleeting moments here and there, but in order to live lives that are truly joy-filled, of true happiness, it has to be tied to God. And the people that we try to bring you here on this hour on Wednesday show us various ways to do that. And in the case today, you know, to start them at a young age. And for all those grandparents out there, you're going to want to run out and get this book and give it to your kids, and hopefully they'll work with your grandkids to bring them along. And it's such a gift. It's such a gift. And God wants to give us to each and every person that's walking around on this planet. You'd never know it to watch the news or read a paper or just look at people walking down the street, but that's what God wants to give us. And, you know, praise God for those that have taken them up on the offer and continue to do whatever it is they can to continue to grow in that gift, to grow in His love, to grow in that mercy, to accept it all, because He just wants to give it to us. All we have to do is ask. So, brothers and sisters, it's always a pleasure to be here on Wednesdays. When we got started in the 4 o'clock hour, I mentioned that my good friend Father McKay is under the weather. I ask you to keep him in prayer. I have a note from Kathleen. She mentioned it yesterday. Man, Jeremy, who is in need of a kidney. He's waiting on a list. And we pray that the kidney comes sooner rather than later. We pray especially for the person that will be donating the kidney, whether it's somebody perhaps that they can match up, or if it comes from an unfortunate tragedy of someone that loses their life, you know, the idea that they can help somebody else can be a tremendous gift as well. And last but not least, I'd ask for your continued prayers for myself. I got a meeting with a surgeon tomorrow to figure out when they're going to do this surgery. Hopefully I'll be back here next Wednesday. I don't think it's going to happen that quick. But if it does, please know that you are always in my prayers, and that I pray that God will hold you in the palm of His hand until we meet again. Till then, take care, and God bless.